Hey, Peter.
Brian, I never, ever, ever, ever get tired of that music.
I don't either. I like it a lot. Hey, how was your run today?
My run today was fine.
Was it?
Yes.
How was your 10K a while back? We didn't talk about that.
We didn't really break that down fully because we had a friar in our midst who talked us up for an hour,
which Dan nice. Was great.
He was amazing.
Hope everybody liked that special long episode.
My mom liked it a lot.
Well, she got a shout out at the
she
end.
She did. She loved that.
Hey, so we did the 10K, the BAA 10K.
We did.
I'd never run a 10K. I don't think you had either.
Not officially, no.
It's a lot of people there. They had over 7,000 runners,
yeah,
which
almost
made
eight,
the
yeah.
lines for the ample, you would have thought ample number of porta potties, very long indeed.
Yes.
And we talked, well, we did talk with Dan while Dan was there about the course and the heat and seeing Shalane Flanagan win a record and all of that good stuff. But afterwards, something very special happened. After the race was over, what happened, Peter?
Well, social media guru Anna Brooks had put out on the Soch the call to anyone who was in the area who wanted to come out and maybe do a group picture.
Which happened.
And we adjusted the location sort of in the last minute, but we all met up after the race. And it was lovely. It was the first time, really, that we had ever experienced anybody who even kind of thought maybe that our show is okay would come out and say hi to us.
Jim and Sarah and Joe and Paul all came out, and we put on our shirts along with Anna and you and I.
Yeah.
And we chatted things up.
We did. We had a little chit-chat.
We ate a lot of the free food that was given away at those tents.
Yes.
And I have to say, oh, and it was just fantastic. So I think we're going to do that. Anytime you and I are running a race together,
yeah.
we'll put the call out and we'll have an HWYRT
little
get
meetup.
Together.
Little
and actually, Joe ran with us for a little bit of it, or at least started the race with us. So that was a lot of fun.
And that was great
corral.
Seeing him because, yeah, it was funny because you and I were standing in the corral waiting to go, and I actually spied a How Is Your Run Today logo. A couple people in front of us and off to the side, and there was Joe, and it was great that he was there, and it's great that everybody came out. Sarah and Jim and Paul, and Paul of course had been our guest a long time ago, and he is very fast.
Yeah, he came in, I think it was it 110th overall
out of everybody, out of nearly 8,000 people.
Yeah, not his age group.
No, overall
in the entire race.
And we had a call in from Brian O'Donovan, also former guest and host of Celtic Sojourn. And he also was too fast. We couldn't catch up with him. He finished the race and then had to leave
for an
engagement.
An Uber.
Yeah, he was already home.
And halfway through recording next week's Celtic Sojourn by the time we began the race.
Yeah, in the Uber, yeah. But it was great. So I think, we should definitely have these meetups after races.
Love
and
it.
It's a lot like November Project in the sense that we all get together. And then it's not like November Project in that we're probably not going to ask anyone to do anything physically strenuous.
Well, because we've already done it.
Yeah, I guess we have.
Speaking of November Project, Peter.
Hello.
Earlier this morning, I managed to PR at the Harvard Stadium steps.
Is that true?
It's a default PR because it's the first time I actually did the stadium on PR day, which means that whatever I had done was a PR. But I did
I see.
42 minutes and change.
You did the whole thing?
The whole thing, all 37 sections.
Is that true?
Yeah, I did. I did it about 1 minute or 2 minutes after sort of they had called everybody together to take the group picture, so I was having to scramble through people, and I'm like, it's my last section. I was emotionally destroyed
at this point.
I couldn't breathe. My legs were garbage, and I just said, last section, last section, last section, and people were, of course, understood what was happening, why this madman was stumbling up these concrete steps in, I'll have to say, it is rare for a shirt to be as thoroughly soaked through
and
as
heavy
mine was.
And just heavy.
Oh, it was awful.
It was very humid this morning.
It was humid this morning, and but I did it. So congratulations to me.
Congratulations to you, Brian.
We'll see if I ever do it again. If I wake up from tonight's rest, tonight's slumber.
Well, I feel that we were kindred spirits because I think I stayed in bed till about 8. But I had run yesterday. I got a good 3.65 in yesterday. It was awesome.
That's hearty. Nice.
It was a good run.
Peter, I will also tell you, and then I will stop
with boasting?
Not boasting at all. With the November Project stuff, I just want to tell you that when I did call in from Philly, I verbaled and I made good on my commitment.
You certainly
did. I joined those folks out there.
You sure did.
And I'll have to tell you, see, this is how insane I'm getting, because I joined, the day before I had joined a crew who met in the hotel lobby at 6 a.m.
Wow.
And went for a run, the same course essentially, just 3 miles. But this I never would have done before.
No.
I am not a guy that gets up when I'm at a conference at 5:30 in the morning, gets myself ready, gets myself down to the hotel lobby at 6 a.m. to meet strangers to go for a run. No. I don't know who this person is, but I have to say, you certainly feel pretty good for the rest of the day.
Yeah, it definitely sets a tone for the day.
It sets a tone for the day. Yeah. And I met some people and was able to do a little business chat. So that was all good.
I noticed that when I don't run in the morning, like today, I get a little tired. And I just stay tired. Like, I never snap out of being the tired.
You have that sort of low fog over you?
I think so, because on the days where I do get up, and especially if it's a 6 a.m. start or even just a before 6 a.m. start, it's a different kind of day. The energy level stays consistent throughout the day. Whereas if I don't do that, and I mean, there's an argument for doing it every day.
But. Well, I have to say that I don't, as you know, I'm a later in the day runner, noontime or later. You know, even though I'm doing these occasional early morning runs, the morning starts off slow and it's sort of a grind, and then you get into it, and then you feel great afterwards, but just get it done.
Can I go back to the BAA 10K for a second?
Let's go back there.
I'm not trying to be harsh about it.
Okay? I don't know where this is going.
I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of people on the road, and, like, it's not very wide course, and they put a couple beverage stations in the road. Like, talk about narrowing the field. And I just felt like I spent the whole time.
It was a mass of humanity.
Trying to dodge things.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know. And I don't know why the 5K was easier. And you didn't do the 5K there, which was the first half of that course. But it's something about, I don't know. It wasn't good for me.
Well, and it was very hot. So people were walking very early on in the race, whether they were doing the run walk method or whether the heat surprised them and
it was
them
hot
down,
it was sunny and hot,
or if they were suffering from indulgences from the evening before. There were a lot of college age students there, I will say that.
It did feel like it skewed young,
very young, and maybe a little newbie, you know what I mean? Maybe a lot of people, this was
their first thing,
or they had done a few 5Ks and now they're doing that. Wonderful to have them out, but I think we self-seated ourselves a little too far back in the back.
I'm going to try it a different way next time.
Because we spent the entire race basically pushing forward, trying to get our pace on, and I wasn't able to keep a consistent stride until the last 2 miles, just because the field opened up a little bit finally.
It was well organized.
It's a fantastic event. And I think I would love to challenge us, we'll bring this up again, but I would love to challenge us to both do the BAA 10, not 10K, the circuit next year. Maybe anybody who's in the Boston area of HWYRT, look into that. It's called the BAA Medley 5K, 10K Half Marathon, and they're spread out through the year, and it is a good event. And you have world-class runners running with you. I mean, it's pretty fantastic.
And there's still time for this year, if anyone's interested, to sign up for the BAA Half Marathon, which is the end of this year's medley, and that's October 9th. It's a Sunday. And actually, I think I'm signing up, Brian. You won't be a part of this because you're going to be busy, but the Lone Gull 10K up in beautiful Gloucester, Massachusetts, I think that's going to be held on the 25th of September. So I'll be doing that.
Well, that sounds great.
Yes.
That's a local area 10K.
Yep. It's supposed to be very
beautiful,
pretty.
Gloucester.
It's supposed to be so pretty.
Right on the water.
Strap on your feed bag. Come and get it.
Peter, I've been having a phenomenon occur. It began with the end of the 10K, but it's continuing to happen.
The feeling of superiority over me?
Well, I have two phenomenon going.
Oh.
That's one of them. The other? Is that I tend to be strapping on the feed bag a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, that has to do a little bit with the time of year and summer, and ice cream is good and beer is tasty and...
And the grill is always hot.
It seems to be like there's grilled meat everywhere you turn. After the BAA 10K, it was as if I discovered food for the first time.
I could not stop putting food into my mouth. In between naps, I would just wake up and, oh, bagel. Oh, yeah. Sushi. I mean, the range of foods were tremendous.
The feedback was
I had flank steak with French fries and mashed potatoes and broccoli. And earlier I had butterflied pork shoulder with fried peaches and plums.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yes.
And there wasn't enough. I had to have chili with spaghetti underneath it. It just keep putting it in. And that is why marathon training, which we're not even doing.
No.
Is not a way to lose weight at all.
No, I cracked into a box of Cheez-Its the other night at about 9:30 p.m. during Game of Thrones.
You have the strangest...
I just ate the whole thing, though. Like the whole box.
I ate one Cheez-It and I'm done. It's the fake Cheez-It. Now, if you set a fresh bag of either Cape Cod potato chips or Smart Food, those I will polish off in a sitting.
You could do a whole bag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why they don't come in the house very often, because I will destroy a bag. I'll strap that. I'll literally take old shoelaces out of old sneakers, tie them around my ears, puncture the sides of the Smart Food bag, tie them up into my face.
I don't think that's true.
And then, because you can't get enough air in, I have to eat the entire bag so that I can breathe again, and that's how it works.
I do a thing where, you know, the little stone wheat thins, the Red Oval Farms stone wheat thins, the smaller ones, not the bigger ones, but the smaller ones.
Very nice crackers, yeah. Delicious.
So they're a little bit bigger than Cheez-Its, but they're still small. I'll take a box.
But no fake cheese on them.
No, they're almost, color. I'm not going to say they're healthy, but they're borderline healthy, because you can eat a lot of them for the calories that they are versus Cheez-Its, whereas Cheez-Its are just high caloric, crazy fat.
Okay.
Stone Wheat Thins made by Red Oval Farms, which is actually now owned by Nabisco. Don't ask me how I know that. I've researched it way too much. Anyway, I'll take an entire box of that.
Yeah.
And I will take a jar of peanut butter. All natural, no sugar, no salt added.
Okay.
Stir that up because the oil's on top. I will then proceed to individually peanut butter many crackers. Now, you can only do that so much, because then you hit peanut butter overload. So then, then I pull out a good stack of 4 or 5 or 6 slices of really good Land O'Lakes American cheese. Now I'm going to break that up.
What is it?
I'm going to break those up in
little
squares and make little cheese sandwiches with the crackers. But I'm not done.
Wait. Are you doing this just sort of as you're sitting in your shame closet?
Yeah.
There's really not much. Or are you watching TV? Or are you outside
TV's on.
Enjoying some warm
Maybe TV's
weather?
On. Maybe no, I'm never outside. This is always.
Are you with people?
I'm never with anybody.
So this is
really for me. So go with me on this. Then I get tired of the way the cheese.
Strapping on the solo feedback.
It's sad. And then I get finished with the cheese, and I'm not done because I still have crackers. So now I'll crack into the garlic hummus.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that, but you shouldn't eat 16 ounces of hummus. You just shouldn't. You should have like 2 ounces. You should have maybe 4 ounces. So then you throw some of that in.
That's got to be heavy, 16 ounces.
And now you're done. Now you've hit it, because now you've achieved peanut butter cheese and
garlic hummus. Yeah.
So just as you're putting the last of the crackers, and you're rolling the bag down and shoving it back in the box.
How do you finish it off, Peter?
There's a stick of butter that's been sitting out, and you're just dragging the small crackers across the top, getting a thin layer of just pure butter, full fat, full salt butter on each individual cracker.
Yeah.
And that's like the palate cleanser. That sort of, I'm wrapping up.
That is tremendous.
Yep. And you add a little whiskey into that. Just a couple shots of whiskey. And then you crawl into bed and you wonder why you went to November Project and this guy didn't.
So, folks, if you want to join the Clyde Army.
Clyde Army.
Yeah, this just doesn't happen, Brian. You have to work at this.
You have to work
it. You have to work at this.
I had no idea what went on behind the scenes.
No one does, and no one should.
Now they do. Well, I'm buying stock in Stone Wheat Thins and hummus, I can tell you that.
Oh, the hummus is the best. I really did the other day, separate and apart from that kind of binge. I think I did.
There was a whole other binge.
No, there was another binge where I think I sat and I just ate. And I used like celery and crackers and carrots. And I did eat all 16 ounces of a tub of hummus.
I love the fact that the ingredients themselves are not malicious. They're all healthy.
No, but it's the volume.
Good.
It's the volume and the mix. And we're talking, this all happens within 22 minutes. Oh. Like, I can just do it. You can do it. I know you. You can put stuff down. Where are you on pizza? You'll eat a pizza.
Not anymore. I'll eat a small pizza. Maybe I'll have two slices. It used to be I could polish off a lot of food. I mean, thousands of calories in a sitting with no problem at all. Peter, I'll tell you something very interesting. I have to research this, but it may help both of us.
Okay.
All right. So one of the people I was running with in Philadelphia is he lives out in Utah, and he regularly does. He's a bicycle rider, has a few years on us, so don't think he's a young, 25-year-old superhuman.
Okay.
He regularly does 4,000 foot climbs like every other day. That's like to and from work or whatever. But, you live out there at altitude. It happens. It doesn't happen to me.
Oh my God. No, it does not.
Like 50 feet is what I can handle.
And that's a lot.
It's like five flights of steps. Anyway, we were talking about pre-exercise meals. And he has come to subscribing to, during training.
Yeah.
Fasting prior to training. Just meaning your last meal of the evening is your last meal. You do not eat anything prior to the training. You train in the morning. And then the kicker is, and he said, now look, you don't do that for a race or an event because you don't have the energy to perform at a maximum level. You must eat. You have to fuel properly for an event. But in training, and if part of that training involves trying to lose weight, then that is, they've done some studies, and we can share them. I'll look them up. That this fasting training really forces your body to be burning fat at a earlier on in your training, essentially, is what happens.
I could see that.
During what happens. And then I said, well, I've also read that if you are fasting for long enough or too often or, whatever, your body sort of goes into energy storage mode.
Right.
And so whatever food you do eat gets quickly turned into fat. So it can be counterproductive.
Right.
And he said, but we have the solve for that as well.
Oh.
Now, this is going to sound very strange.
I'm ready.
Okay. So you take the old Bragg's apple cider vinegar.
Oh, I've heard about this.
A tablespoon and a cup of water.
Yeah, I've heard about this.
You drink this prior to your post-activity meal, and it does something to the glycogen levels, storage, etc., to make sure that your meal doesn't become counterproductive. You continue to burn and lose weight after your training and once you start eating again.
Really?
That day, yeah. So I actually have been secretly a Bragg's apple cider vinegar and seltzer water person for quite a few years, just because I think it's a refreshing drink. I'll drink it on summer afternoons when it's really hot. But I've never thought of it as this sort of glycogen blah 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 blue 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 blue. Anyway, Peter, what do you think of that? I don't think I could get out of bed without knowing that there's at least an English muffin waiting for me, if not a full bagel with cream cheese and lox.
I think it depends greatly on how your body is used to working. I know that for me, it's actually a challenge for me to eat first thing. So
what?
As much as I like coffee and try to have either a cold cup of coffee or a hot cup of coffee before I go out, I really don't want food. And I typically only put in like a peanut butter on wheat bread or a piece of fruit or whatever. Definitely on race day, no question. And definitely on long run day.
So do you not eat breakfast?
I don't typically before I work out. I can't do it. It just makes me nauseous.
No kidding.
Yeah, I can do a lot of water.
Yeah.
And again, I can do a little bit of coffee, but my natural state is not wake up, I gotta eat. It's not that way.
Well, my natural state is certainly not, I wake up and I need to exercise.
Well, see, that's interesting. So I could see where this thing totally would work. I'm also a big believer in shut the machine off at 7 p.m. digestive-wise. Don't put any more food in after 7 o'clock.
Yeah,
and
I would like...
And that's beyond training. That, for me, is like I actually like to try to adhere to that as best I can.
When does the hummus and wheat thins, when does that happen?
Yeah,
when? When in the daytime does
when
that
I'm in a bad way.
So that's 10 o'clock at night.
No, yes, it has been. But it's more like, oh, that's like an 8:30, 9:30, that window.
Yeah.
And it's not all the time. Typically tends to be winter time.
Yeah.
When I'm a little mad, little on the sad, little seasonal
when
affective
it's dark
disorder.
All the time.
Yeah, little wah-wah, little sweatpants.
When it gets to be 8 o'clock at night and you're like, it's been dark for 4 hours already and I'm not even tired.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
I think we all go there.
But it doesn't happen nearly as often when I'm adhering to the 7 o'clock thing. And it doesn't happen at all during training, and that's why I'm so excited to have July 17th just around the corner, because that's the start of my 16-weeker.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
I rarely eat dinner before 8 o'clock at night.
Because you're European and you live in Spain.
I live in Spain. Siesta time is right around the corner. No, it's just the way the schedule works in my household.
But you eat good food.
Yes. The artisan residence is a stunningly good cook. And I would wait till midnight to eat anything that she makes.
And if you called me, I'd come over.
If I had your phone number, I've lost it.
Yeah.
Could you jot that down again for me?
People think we hang out and we're just not really. We're just work friends. We don't. It's just a job, everybody. We're not really friends.
Peter, you know, not too long ago, you put out a shout out, as you always do on Saturday. And we got some interesting responses.
You mean my sad stats?
There's another bumper to make.
Sat stats. I like to know what people are doing, Brian. I like to say, hey, here's what I'm doing. What you doing? It's in the title of our show, man. How was your run today, man?
And how was the weather? And how many dead animals did you see?
That's not in the title, but it's implied. Yeah, so let me tell you.
Peter, tell me something.
Brian, let me tell you. There's a couple ways that people can do this.
Yeah.
They can respond with, great run today in Colorado.
Love the 1020 shout out. Want to know where you're at. Good buddy.
Oh, I see. CB talk.
Still in it.
Bringing it around.
Loving it.
Good buddy.
Come on, break.
You can say, hey, terrific run in Oregon on hills, 80 degrees.
Yeah. What's the next level?
My buddy Eric sent in the most defined. He didn't do it on Facebook, which I thought was interesting, because I put the call out on Facebook and I expect it to sort of hit through the threads.
Right.
I don't know if he's anti-Facebook.
Yeah.
Meaning he has an account, but I'm pretty sure he doesn't like to use it.
Yeah. Hey, listeners, plus, I love reading through those replies. They're so fantastic. But here's one we got through email.
So here's what he did through email. He said, today's run. And he gave the date. I appreciate that. I like to know when it was. Then he said, great run today. Mostly steep hills. Glorious weather. Location, Brookline, Fisher Hill, Route 9 Reservoir, and environs. So, in theory, you could take a GPS out and sort of track his route if you really wanted to. He said the temperature was 71 to 74 degrees. He gave a range because what he did there was he took the temperature probably when he left, and he took the temperature when he got back. Humidity was at 45% that day, Brian. How long was he out there, Brian? He was out there for 55 minutes. He covered 5.5 miles for an average pace of 10 minutes per mile. He listened to the following musical artists. David Bowie, Black Star, Django Django, Moth on the Flame, Beck, Fantagram, Alabama Shakes. Number of dead birds seen, 2. Correction. Actually, 1.5. I rounded up, he said.
I rounded up. Oh, I'm glad I didn't see that half a bird. Oh, that's tremendous.
See, now that's how you give some stats.
Yeah, and is it sort of like location, colon, the whole...
Oh, yeah. It's broken down by subject matter.
So scientific.
The only thing he didn't do
was
include a picture. And pictures are not mandatory. None of this is mandatory. I just like to see a picture of your environment. That's all.
If it's possible.
I know I always ask for that, and I almost never give a picture myself because I never bring my phone with me.
Right.
But this was terrific. So, Eric, thank you so much. And everybody, Saturday is typically between 6 or 7 in the morning. I'll throw it out there whenever I put feet to floor, and I say, hey, let me know what you think.
Yeah, I love it. I want to share one with you, too, that came to me over text to me and not to our Facebook page.
Is this from a total stranger?
No, from our listener, Michelle, who I know, who lives up in the North Country of New Hampshire. And let me just read this one to you. Just my run today, JoJo's and back, sub 9 each mile. So JoJo's a little convenience store. I know where it is. I know exactly the route she was going.
We all know JoJo's,
right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. And 6:30 a.m., before I started to run up Mike's driveway, John says, do you have your bear whistle? Yes. So I start running. A freaking bear in the woods to the right of me, so I blow the whistle. And a deer runs out of the woods from the left, too. So she's in a Bambi story.
Holy cow. She saw a bear?
Yeah. Yeah, they've got bears.
She blew the whistle to scare the bear.
And a deer comes
and she got
bolting out of
it. She got a bonus deer.
Yes.
That doesn't happen to me.
That doesn't happen. No, this area of New Hampshire has quite a few black bears. Not like our western brown bears where you got to then really get out of there.
You got to get out of there.
But you don't want to encounter
any
400-500-pound black bear.
Yeah, any bear on any given day, right? Come on.
That would make me run really fast.
I wanted to clarify something. Friend of the show, longtime listener, Lisa, wrote me an email the other day and wanted me to express a clarification. We had talked about fellow fan Sarah was talking about the things she could not unsee, and she was saying that she saw a lot of bottles on the side of the road with liquid in them.
Yeah, brownish liquid, half full on the side of the road.
We were misunderstanding, at least I was, I can't speak for you, what that liquid was. So Lisa wrote a note saying, you would know this if you lived out west or if you played baseball, but it's chewing tobacco spit. Not as gross as you might think, but still really gross.
That's pretty
and
gross.
Yeah, Sarah actually had said in her thing that they're called dip bottles, DIP bottles. Sure. I had never heard of that term. I looked it up. Yeah, and it's absolutely the receptacle for your chaw that you're spitting out when your saliva is excreting beyond mouth feel holding levels, and you have to excrete it. So, yeah. It doesn't help me because it's still really, 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 really gross.
I suppose there are grosser habits. But
This is the beauty of this country, man. Everyone can do what they do. The thing you shouldn't do is probably then throw the bottle full of that stuff like it's fine to be next to the flowers and the trees and the rocks. Like,
yeah, let's not litter, folks.
Why not just use a trash receptacle,
right?
Man.
Keep it in your car till you get home. Throw it in the garbage.
See, but then someone might say, "Oh, that's gross. It's in my car." Right. If it's gross
it's
and it's
in your
mouth, car,
bleck.
No, that's a judgment now, Brian. These people have an addiction.
That's true.
I think so. I think it's. I would probably dig it. A little
you
chaw.
Think? A little chaw.
I'm just.
Have you tried running with chaw? With dip? A little pinch between the teeth and gum?
I actually don't want to say anything more about chaw.
Okay.
I can't run with chaw or anyone with chaw. I've never. No one does that. Does anyone do that? You're
a
not
lot
seeing,
of people do it.
No, you're not seeing people.
Well, you're not. No, in Brookline, where it's banned, of course you don't see anybody.
You're saying there are people who exercise.
Oh, I well,
with
baseball
tobacco
players.
In their mouth.
Baseball players, yeah.
That's different.
Is it?
No, I don't know enough about this subject matter to speak on it in any way.
Well, your son plays baseball. Ask him. He probably dips.
No, he doesn't. He does big league chew. Like, that's
well,
the most
that's the training ground,
right? And that's
shredded gum. Turns into shredded tobacco eventually.
Tobacco lobby.
It's a gateway candy.
Okay.
You know, when we were kids, there was Big League Chew, candy cigarettes, and baby vodka. Do you remember these things?
I don't remember baby vodka, but I do remember there were wax bottles that you had to bite the tops off, and they had like sugar water inside them, which I think they were called Baby Mai Tais. I think.
Kitty Mai Tais.
Yeah, Long Island iced teas. Hey, how did you do raising your money for Brigham and Women's Hospital?
I did wonderfully. I ran that 10K as a fundraiser for Brigham and Women's.
Yeah.
Put out a few shout-outs and a really lo-fi video on YouTube. And yes, we did reach our goal, and it was wonderful. And thank you to everyone who contributed to that campaign. Brigham and Women's Life-Giving Breakthroughs is what we were supporting.
Well, that's great, and congratulations, and it's a worthy, worthy hospital. Speaking of hospitals and speaking of raising money, I'm about to launch my page.
Yes.
For anyone who wants to give for my run. I don't know if you know this, Brian, but on November 6th.
What's happening on November 6th?
I'll be running the New York City Marathon. Thank you so much.
That's such good news.
And I'm running it as a charity runner for Boston's Children's Hospital. They mount a small team. It's the same organization that does the run for the marathon here in Boston, but then they also do a small team later in the year to New York. I'm very honored to have been selected to be on that team. And I do have to raise quite a bit of money. So if anyone out there is interested in that, there'll be a link on our webpage, and we'll certainly put it on Facebook. I think the page should be up by the end of this month, July.
Great.
And I'll be actively campaigning to get that goal reached and hopefully surpassed.
Well, Peter, I will happily contribute to that campaign. Children's Hospital is a wonderful organization, and good luck as your training begins.
Can't wait. Start next week. Now, speaking of that, I know you're a little bit behind me on training.
Yeah.
If you follow a 6 week, are you doing a 16 or an 18 week?
16.
So you're a little behind me, but let's talk about Millinocket real quick.
Okay.
December 10th. Is that also a fundraiser one?
It is not. It is one by default, since people will be coming to the town of Millinocket who would not otherwise be going there,
right, right,
and getting hotel rooms and eating meals and buying T-shirts and other goodies that they have there. So, so no, it's not a direct fundraiser in that way. There are opportunities to contribute to the local library and things like that, but it's not a fundraiser as a runner.
But the way I can support you,
yeah,
is by going up there. Hotel room,
throwing wads of cash,
beef stew,
all about the town. Yeah.
Porter, stout,
yeah,
what have you, while you,
yeah, moose pie,
are running 26.2 miles
through the snow.
I'm very excited to see it happen.
You're so much more excited than I am.
You're going to be fine. You're just not there yet in your mind.
I'm not. Hey, Peter, you know we have an app that up.
Let's app that up.
Okay.
We have, we're on Strava.
Yeah, the good friend of the show, Paul Davies, loves that app. And he has created a How Is Your Run Today group. And I believe it's a nice community of people.
And it collects your running stats and lets other people see what you're doing and share that kind of stuff. And if you're really into stats and cheering people on, then go ahead and join that. We'll put all the information up on, we'll put it out on social media if you want to learn more about the HWYRT group in Strava.
You know, speaking of technological leap forwards, Brian.
We were,
much like President Kennedy's call to land on the moon, I am now going to force this on you, and by telling everyone here that by September 1st, we will have a fully operational HWYRT merch store as part of our site, where they can find many a running related item. Your Clyde Army t-shirts.
All right.
Your Crankle compression socks.
Oof.
I think there'll be hats.
Peter, I will take up that challenge, not because it's easy, but because it's had. No, but that's going to be very exciting. We'll have a merch site attached to www.hwyrt.com.
http://backslash/backslash/backslash/backslash/backslash.
Thank you.
Hey.
This has been episode 37 of How Is Your Run Today with Peter Villa and Brian Gould. Music by Jeff Cronenberg. Anna Brooks is our social media guru. Andrea Bonnie Gould is our artist in residence. Listeners, please contribute to the show with your questions and comments. For email and social media links, go to our website, howisyourruntoday.com. Listen to us every week wherever you collect podcasts. Peter keeps them with stone wheat thins and hummus.
And peanut butter, and butter, and American cheese. And it's usually after 9 p.m. at night.
But whenever you visit that special podcast place, please give us a rating and a comment. Every single one of those makes a difference in how this little here show is ranked. And if you love HWYRT, please share our posts on social media. It's free, and it's easier than running a marathon with a mouthful of chalk. Hey, Peter.
That'd be so gross.
Have a good run today.
Yeah, chaw free.
Yeah.
You just threw up a little bit in your mouth.
I did not.
You know, I saw on the back of the shirt, they gave us a lovely running shirt for the 10K, and it says on the back, Brigham Women's, and it says, life, period.
Yeah.
Giving, period.
Yeah.
Breakthroughs.
Correct.
Period. And you kept saying it like life-giving breakthroughs, but it's really life, period, giving, period, breakthroughs, period. Just wanted to clear that up.
We going to keep going on this road?
No, it was just interesting. I noticed it on the shirt. I was hanging it up to dry. And I thought, hey, Brian's been saying that wrong the whole time.